bad weather, we're grateful that you were able to come and that we can worship here on the first day of the week. If you take your Bible and turn to the Revelation letter in the 11th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. Revelation chapter 11. Brother Butler informed me there was some bad news about Christmas being canceled. He said that Santa Claus died. He said when he got my letter about how good of a boy I've been this year, he died laughing. I don't know why Brother Butler picks on me like that. But we appreciate Brother Butler. I changed my lesson this morning. I'd intended to preach on something else. But some of the folks I'd hoped to hear aren't here. So we're going to look at a lesson that I had found I'd preached 20 years ago. I don't normally repeat a lot of sermons in local congregations, but I preached it here at Eastside back in 1996. And if any of you can remember it, you'll get something. In the Revelation letter in the 11th chapter, if you will, read with me verse 12. In Revelation chapter 11, read verse 12. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up hither." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the book of Revelation, we see a great picture. And it's a picture of a great struggle between God and Satan. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the 11th chapter, we see a period when the church of my Lord is being severely persecuted. In fact, the persecution was so severe that the church looked like it was almost going to be destroyed. It looked like it was lifeless. Then we read a statement made in the Revelation letter and the 11th chapter in verse 11. Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. I like that statement, that the spirit of life came back into them, and they stood up on their feet, and they continued the battle. It is here that we read the great voice in heaven, declared in verse 12, saying, "Come up hither." And what I'd like to do is take that statement and consider it in another way. Without abusing Scripture or misusing Scripture in any way, I'd like for us to think about the statement, "Come up hither." The first thing I want us to put in our mind and in our hearts this morning as we make our study is there's no standing still. This is a world, my friend, in which there's no standing still whatsoever. You'll see that there is ceaseless progress on every hand, and it's being made every day. You can understand that there are two ways this progress can be made. One, you can be on an upward track. You can be, as the Bible says, going up hither. In other words, you're in the direction of heaven. You're living your life so that heaven is your goal and that you're going in that particular direction. Your life and your trajectory is that of a heavenward bound individual. Then you can read of those that are on a downward trajectory. They are on a trajectory that is away from God, that leads unto perdition. And so the thought is raised and is emphasized by our Lord, which way are you heading? If you take your Bible and look in the book of Matthew and the 7th chapter, I'd like to read with you verses 13 and 14. In Matthew 7, Jesus puts before us there are two ways in which an individual can go. And again, it is a trajectory that is coming up hither to God or going away from God into perdition. He said in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Jesus is warning that the majority is not always right. In fact, the business, he points out, the majority is wrong. They are on a broad way, and notice that particular way leads away from God. It's not going toward God. It's not going up there, but it is going away to destruction. Then in verse 14, he says, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life." One, he said, leads to destruction. The other, he said, leads to life. Then he said, there are few who find it. He makes a great contrast. There are few who listen to the voice of God to come up hither. It is in one of these ways every man is traveling, and that includes you. You are either on an upward trajectory toward God, toward heaven, toward eternal life, or you are on a downward trajectory away from God, towards death, eternal destruction. That is not the words of a narrow-minded preacher. That's not the word of the Church of Christ. That is what Jesus proclaimed when he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. But then I started to think about the fact that there are voices that plea for downward path. That when you look around Shevel, Tennessee, or Nashville, Tennessee, or anywhere, you will find there are voices along the road that will incite you to go the downward way, to go away from God, to go in a path that is opposite of the Heavenly Father. And you can understand those voices. In your Bible, in the book of Proverbs in the first chapter, you remember the writer of God makes a statement. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 10, he says, when sinners entice you, he said, you reject them. He says, do not listen to their enticement. That there are going to be people that come to you and tell you the way to enjoyment, the way to real life, is to live contrary to God's will. And he said, when sinners entice you, consent not. That is a great warning from the writer of God. Do not consent to live a life that is contrary to the upward way. Secondly, he talks about pleasure. The sweet voice or the plea to come and enjoy the pleasure of sin. That is a downward call. That is a call that is heard all around today. That you can enjoy the pleasures of the flesh. That you can enjoy everything there is in this life, that you don't need to have any aches or pains, you don't need to have any troubles or heartaches, that there is some drug, there is some recreation, there is something you can do that will take away every act of boredom, take away every feeling of pain. And we look at people that they are addicted to pleasure. Whatever it is that gives them a moment of pleasure, they will do. But if you remember in your Bible, in the Hebrew letter and the 11th chapter, Moses heard that plea. Moses heard the plea that called him in a downward trajectory. But in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 24, notice that Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But notice verse 25. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, my friend, I'm not going to lie to you this morning. Sin is pleasurable. If sin was not pleasurable, there would be no temptation to engage in such an activity. But notice the statement the Hebrew writer makes. He says that pleasure is passing. And he says that is a downward path. That it leads you away from God. It leads you away from eternal life. And that pleasure is one of the tools of the devil. That we get so engaged in the flesh, we forget the spiritual side. And it is a downward call that we get engaged in pleasure. But then there's a third thing that I believe that is a voice that pleads for us to go down the downward path, and that is of fame. How many people have been led down the pathway to hell by desiring to be famous? I know of some individuals that were at one time what you might call godly people, but they were sold out. I've often thought about some folks in Nashville, Tennessee, that when it came time to sign a music contract, that they were going to have their faith put on trial. How many would sign the contract and go out and do something they know was a downward act that would lead them away from God, that would lead them away from the upward call, because they wanted the fame. They wanted people to recognize them. Now, we all enjoy recognition, but I want us to understand, my friend, that there can be such a way that we want to be famous, we want to be known, and it takes us away from God. But then there's a third voice that calls us away from God, and that is worldliness. And the things of the world desire to get you in the downward path. When you look out and you see this world, I want us to understand how filthy and ungodly it has become. You can hardly get by today without seeing on the news some ungodly act that's been done. I read just recently where in a high school here in this country, there were some young people that wanted to have a pro-life group. They were against abortion. Then the high school came out and said, it's okay for you to have a pro-life group, but you can't say the word abortion because it may offend somebody who wants to terminate the life of a baby. I'll tell you, my friend, we've become an ungodly society. I'll tell you, we don't call sin what it is. Instead of calling drunkenness, we call it alcoholism. Instead of calling it homosexuality, we call it an alternative lifestyle. Instead of calling it what God called it, we change the name and we act like it's okay. And I'll tell you what that is. That's nothing more than worldliness. That is conforming to this world instead of transforming to the image of Christ. But I'll tell you, there's another thing. And that is trials. That is the voice that will plead you to come downward. Trials that come our way. And many times we blame God and thus take the other action and the other trajectory away from God instead of toward God. Have you ever thought about in the book of James in the first chapter that when James was writing, notice what he said in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Yet so many people, instead of enduring temptation and enduring trials, blame God. And it's funny because the very next verse says not to do that. In verse 13, "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor can God... nor does he himself tempt anyone." Now, I recognize trials are going to come, but I need to remember that though this voice and all these others, they lead me away from God. They are the voice that pleads me to go the downward path. They plead for me to go away from God. And I'll tell you, young men and young ladies, I fear that in your day and time, you've got a lot of people in your ear telling you, enjoy pleasure. They're telling you to enjoy pride. They're telling you to enjoy worldliness. And young men and young ladies, they're telling you that you don't have to wait to be married to have sexual relations. They're telling you that drugs and alcohol will bring you joy. They're telling you that you can do anything you want. Don't listen to your parents. And I'll tell you what all that is the devil seeking to deceive you in the days of your youth. But I want to think about something else. Those are voices that call me away from God. Have you ever thought about the great voice that says, "Come up hither"? I'm thankful there's a voice that calls me to come up. Let us turn our minds to the great voices that call us to go up high, to go up hither. If you got your Bible, I want you to think about the voice of God. Have you ever thought that God's voice calls us to come up high? Come up here. Come up hither. That's a great voice, my friend, is the voice of the great God of heaven. And God's plea for you and God's plea for me is that we do not reject the gift He's offered us, that we do not reject eternal life, that we do not reject the hope of heaven, that we do not heed the voice of the world and the voice of the devil and the voice that calls us downward, but that we heed the voice that calls us upward, that we are on the upward way as we sing, that we're on the upward trail, that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus, and that we are hearing the voice of the great God of heaven who says, come up hither. Don't go to hell. Don't go to destruction. Don't go to everlasting fire, but come up to my place. Come to a home of eternal and everlasting joy. But then I think of a second voice. I think of the voice of Christ. And that voice cries out, come up hither. It's the great voice of the great Lamb of God, the one who died for you. And he cries out, come up hither. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter. And one of the great and most outstanding verses in the divine Word of God is found in Matthew 11, when Jesus looked out at the people and said in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus saying? Come to me. What are you saying, Jesus? Come up hither. Don't heed the voices that call you away from me. I left the glory of heaven and went to earth and died upon a cross to save you from that place. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of the world. Don't be called downward into eternal destruction. But heed my cry, come unto me. Then if you take your Bible, look in the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter, note, if you will, most kindly the statement made in Revelation 22 in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus is saying, I am the one who redeems you. I am the root, the offspring of David. Come to me. Then if you take your New Testament, look in the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter. In Matthew 16, notice, if you will, the statement that Jesus made. We can all quote it, but I wonder sometimes if we listen to it as much as we should. When in Matthew 16, in verse 24, Jesus makes the statement, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What are you doing, Jesus? Jesus says, I'm making a plea to deny yourself and come follow me. Why follow you, Jesus? He said, because I want you to come up hither. I don't want you to listen to the voice that leads to eternal damnation. I want you to listen to my voice that leads to eternal life. But then I want you to think about something else. Not only does the great voice of the great God and the great voice of the great Christ call us to come up hither, but the great voice of the Holy Spirit calls us. Yes, the blessed Spirit sounds out His great voice for us to come up hither. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter, look at verse 17. And notice that it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. What are you calling out for, Holy Spirit? Come up hither. But then take your Bible for just a moment and look in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, notice what is said in Romans chapter 8 in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Then to save some time, look at verse 15 and 16 carefully. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, notice the statement, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. How is one led? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible's its best commentary. Go back to the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 14, He says in verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. It's through preaching. It's through studying the Bible, through knowing God's Word. The Spirit of God calls us, come up hither. Come to heaven. But I'll tell you, there's another voice. And that is the voice of the church. The people of God, the redeemed of God. The church is heaven sent. It's the bride, the people of God, the redeemed by the God of heaven. And if you go back to Revelation 22:17, after the Spirit said come, who else said come? It said the bride. The people who've been redeemed. The church is pleading with the people, come up hither to come out of sin and be on the way that leads home. That is all the church really offers, is to come up hither. But I want to tell you a fourth group, and that is saints. Saints who've already gone on. Saints in heaven. Let us not forget the plea of the saints in heaven. Their cry is to come up hither. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter, notice the statement made. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning at about verse 4, And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Look at the souls of the ones who'd been beheaded. Where are they? They're in heaven. What are they doing? They're resting with God. But the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, they still speak through the life that they live, that it pays to serve God. You ever thought about some of the people that one time attended here at Eastside? And they passed on. Maybe one of your loved ones. And they stayed faithful to God. They listened to the upward call. They listened to the great voice of the great God, the great voice of the great Christ, the great voice of the great Spirit in the church. And you know what they're pleading for you? Come up here. That's their plea. Don't listen to that. That'll take you away. I want to look at one more voice in the lesson, Jesus. I want you to think about the voice from hell. We've heard all these voices that cry, come up here. But there's another voice that I desire to call to your attention that pleads for you to go up there. Open your Bible to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, you find that rich man in torment. And you remember what his plea was when he spoke to Abraham. He spoke and he begged Abraham that he would send Lazarus to his 5 brothers in verse 28. In verse 27, he said, I beg you. Look at that. I beg you, therefore, you would send him to my father's house. I have 5 brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. I've had people tell me, if my loved one's in hell, I want to go to hell. I'll tell you something, my friend. If your loved one's in hell, they don't want you there. You know what their plea is? For you to go up hither. Don't come down here. That rich man begged and pleaded that his 5 brothers would not come to this place of torments. He begged and pleaded that they would listen to the voice of God and Christ and the Spirit and the church and the saints and not listen to the voice of the world and the voice of deceitfulness and the voice of the evil one. This voice is saying, don't come down to a burning hell. His voice cries out, go up hither. I think one of the greatest testimonies in the Bible, the Word of God, is that man in Luke 16. A man who had tasted a few moments of torments begs and pleads for each of us not to come down here. Don't follow the majority. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. But hear the voice of God that cries, come up here. I've got one question for you. What's your trajectory? What voices are you listening to? Are you closer to God today than you were last week? Are you heeding His voice and following His will and doing those things that give Him glory because you long one day to be with Him? Or are you following the world and walking away from Him and neglecting to do the things we know we should do, and we're following the voice that calls us downward, even though one who's already in that place says, don't come here. Go up. I'll tell you, that's a powerful testimony. I've had people say to me, well, Mike, how could I enjoy heaven if I have a loved one in hell? And you know, my friend, I leave that up to God. God will take care of it. If God is able to take care of all these other things, I won't miss Him in eternity because God is able to fix that. Don't underestimate and limit the power of God. But I can't answer for anybody else here. I look out at some people, and if I had the ability to just drag you down, and I could get a couple of fellas to drag you down and baptize you, I'd do it. But it wouldn't do any good because you didn't do it by faith. But my prayer is that you'll listen to the voice of God. Come. Because in heaven, there will be no more tears. That's how I know, even if a loved one is not there, God will fix it. God will take care of it. How God takes care of it, I don't know. But you know something, my friend? There's a lot of things I don't know. I'll never forget when I was a little boy asking my dad a question. And he said, well, son, this works this way, this works this way, this works that way. And I said, well, why? He said, well, because this works this way and this works that way. And I said, well, why? And he said, just because it does. You know why? I didn't understand. And there's some things that my Heavenly Father says, mine, you can't understand, but you leave it to me, and I'll take care of it. You come up here. You can't answer for anybody else but yourself. And only you will know what voices you're listening to, whether they're calling you upward or down. And may God help each of us hear the voice that says, come up here. Enter into the joy of your Father. If you need to obey the gospel, we